occupational therapy in his finest form. Make the Almighty himself your treasure, sound wisdom your wealth. Then the Almighty shall be a joy to you, and you can raise your eyes to God. When you pray, he will answer you, and then you can fulfill your vows to him. Whatever you plan shall prosper, and you shall live in sunshine. Joel 22:25-27. When we read Job, we find a man in distress. We find a man who has tasted the dregs of life, where everything has happened to him. Then he comes to the realization that within himself there is the divine power. Then all things change from that moment. He becomes a new man. Job in distress, and then Job in the sunshine. And it is the same with most people in this world, where there are many difficulties that beset them. But when the realization and recognition of that which really is, in reality, the only permanent and real thing established in themselves, and that is themselves, then a new life opens before them. And it is this that what we call occupational therapy in its finest form, that is living. In my last lecture, I dealt with relaxed attention. There is more in attention than most people are aware of. Attention leads to perception and memory. In your daily tasks, there are many things that may be tedious, but when relaxed attention is developed in the natural way, your work becomes fun because you are applying yourself scientifically and with interest. Now, without attention, there can be no perception, and naturally, without perception, there can be no memory. And in this relative world in which we live, we have to use our faculties that God has given to us, our mind and the methods and ways to use it. And I am pointing these out to you because it is naturally the training of a master before he enters into the realization of that oneness. The mind, they must be trained, and as the mind is trained, new avenues open before that individual. Relaxed attention leads to voluntary attention, where you are able to see and think about an object or subject with the greatest possible degree of clearness. Another fact that you must remember is that we have a mass of unassociated facts about a subject or object, and these facts have not been of any use to us because they have never come into the field of consciousness for observation. Lots of things to read in your lifetime have entered your mind. You've thought about them for the moment. You've put them in a pigeonhole in your mind. But what happens? You have forgotten all about them. But nevertheless, they remain in your mind, and that is one of the greatest things in your mind, is to have control over these unassociated facts so that you can bring them before the the view of the consciousness, so that the consciousness can again observe them and make use of them. Only when they have been brought into the field of consciousness do we clearly see the relation of these facts. That is why we should now realize the secret of attention is to attend to one thing at a time, exclusively. This gives us a clear picture of all the facts in regard to what we are attending to. If you have in your mind a number of unassociated facts, and under no circumstances have been associated with other things, but when you think of a particular subject or object, then immediately all these unassociated facts begin to flow up, up. And so they rise up into the field of consciousness, and you become consciously aware of them. Then that's new knowledge. That's why attention is so important. Your attention is what we call haphazard. Then you see that these kinds of information do not rise up to the field of consciousness at all. It is this concentrated form of attention that is so essential in your work and play. Occupational therapy in its best form is when our minds are directed in the right way. Then work becomes really interesting. By this means, your health improves because your activities bring relaxation through interest. It is when you are strained and tensed that you create habit patterns. Immediately you know how to apply yourself, then you have an interest. In that interest, you have relaxation. In that relaxation, you break up your old habit patterns and you become well. The cause of a poor memory is largely due to lack of attention. Impressions are the source of our memory. And these are obtained through attention and interest. The degree of attention given today regulates the quality of your work tomorrow. The greatest destroyer of attention is emotional habit patterns brought about through tension, which create physical illness. You will now realize that constructive activity frees the brain. Constructive activity breaks down the network of inhibitions, which prevent the entire brain from functioning as one complete unit. When you are writing a book, when you are writing things of interest, even if it is memoirs, it's no different what it is. You are happy. There is a line of action that gives you rest. There is relaxation. There is interest. If you are engaged in work that you like, if you are relaxed at your work and play, then you are gaining health. Relaxed attention leads to constructive activity, and constructive activity leads to freedom. When you work with joy, the entire body gets in tune with your healthy creativeness. Are you engaged in constructive activity, or are you engaged in destructive activity? Think now, ask yourselves the question, and discern what's in your mind. Discern what you are doing, then you will free yourselves. And only by discerning your own actions can you free yourself from them. If you are caught up in them, then you are in the vicious circle. Your heart beats with new life, your lungs expand as more oxygen is taken in, and this leads to enthusiasm. For oxygen stimulates the body and mind. When there is inhibition through emotional habit patterns, a lack of oxygen is evident. This causes poor circulation, paralysis, anemia, etc. Thus, many of our ailments, you will see, have a nervous origin. How many people have what we call conflicts through nervous reactions, and they're nothing more but inhibitions in the cerebellum, creating these conditions in the body, reflecting outwardly the state of our mind. And then, sure enough, you will say, mind and disease are one and the same. You cannot separate them. Your disease must be in your mind. It can't be anywhere else. The body has no power of its own, has no existence apart from you at all. Then when we realize this great truth, that our roots are in heaven, in God. Your roots and my roots are deeply rooted in the infinite spirit. There we sustain our sustenance. We obtain a sustenance to live. As the Master said, man does not live by bread alone, but the very word of God. That is the bread that comes down from heaven. Man has not yet seen the flow of life that flows into him without that life flowing into his body could not exist. So the body does not live apart from your mind, nor does your body live apart from life. But life itself is perfect in itself. It's an intelligence that knows no sickness of any kind. It is out picturing the desire and will of the Spirit. All things perfect. So Jesus said, be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. But in man's mind, all these troubles exist. Like a seed planted in the ground, it begins to grow. And when it sprouts, then man sees it and begins to fear it, because he finds it's contrary to what he would have in his own system, in his own body. He feels it. Faith, then, is the quality that enables you to overcome all your difficulties. Most people are living on the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They're all the time living on it. They're eating off it. Don't you see that this is a relative thing? And by eating off it, you're eating of the relative world and the relative conditions. Health, ill health, success, failure, good, bad, all the rest of these things, that is the double mind. But the individual who has found this truth, he knows that there is nothing but life. I am that life. That's what the Master said. When there is creativeness in your work is recreation. It virtually recreates, for it builds up wasted muscles and red corpuscles. This new released energy revivifies your whole system. It is when you have creative activity, your strength, energy, and thought becomes the rails upon which you travel to the summit of joyful living. Whatever importance we enjoy in our communal life comes through our work. It is what we do that makes us great. When we look at the great achievements reached through human life, we can appreciate the supreme quality inherent in us all. Many millions of individuals working in harmony create the colossus. Steamships, railroads, flying ships, which were at one time unthinkable, are now a reality. Great cities, the greatest and the smallest of them, all the result of our work. But there is something greater behind it. That is the thing that we must see and must know. That which is supreme and inherent in us all. That which enables us to live. That which enables us to work. And when we take off the brakes, God does the work for us. I can always feel that sentence the Master said, in his calmness and his peace and his serenity, and in that quality of power that was his. It's the Father whoever remaineth within me, it is he who is performing his own deeds. Is that not the way then? To be relaxed and eased at your work. If you can carry that everywhere, in your play, in your work, then you will find that there is a supreme quality. That supreme quality which is reality. That which is free, unlimited, never tarnished, never affected by the relative, neither knows good nor evil, health or sickness, success or failure. It is that in itself that makes you what you are, when you realize it. These are the products of our hands and our minds. We realize that there is more than human effort behind it all, for we are all divine in nature. It is only through this divine reasoning that we reach the summit of joy. When we are living in the outer consciousness, the superficial consciousness. All things interfere with us. This, that, belief in this, a belief in that. Is it not that belief itself is the cause of separation? You believe one thing and I believe another, and you say you're wrong and I'm right, and the other person says I'm right and you're wrong. So you're brought up in a certain belief, what do? You say the other person is all wrong, and he says you're all wrong, but that's just a belief, it's just an idea in your mind. That is not truth. All these beliefs are the cause of all the misery in the world. It brought him out more wars, more troubles than anything else. Just go back only a few years and think of the Spanish Inquisition. Think of what was done to the people who had a different belief. Think about those people who said they were Christians and professed the teachings of Christ, that man of Galilee who showed only one thing, love. Love thy neighbor as thyself. But what did they do? In records which we know of, we are told in one case, a man was tied onto a pole, and this pole was revolved round an open fire, and he was roasted alive. That was one of the punishments. Other punishments were that their eyes were gouged out, their intestines ripped out, and then burnt at the stake. Some of them burnt alive. That was the cause of what? A belief. And today, what do we see in beliefs? There's a great controversy running in the newspapers today about the different religions. Are you not disgusted yourselves to read about that stupid nonsense? You who are students of the truth, can you associate yourselves with these beliefs that create antagonisms and separation? There is only one religion, only one, and that is the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other. Hatreds and antagonisms because a person follows one religion and one another. And the hatred is terrible. And yet, what are they doing? Preaching Christ. They are preaching damnation. That's what they're preaching. They have no more knowledge of that man of Galilee than this table has. And the sooner the world wakes up to it, the better. And leaves those beliefs alone until they rot and disintegrate and dissolve into nothingness where they belong. When we lose ourselves in our work, we bring into operation qualities that are beyond human nature. We lift human life into a dignified state of our spiritual nature, realizing what is behind all our creative genius. Therefore, we lift our work into a higher state because we bring in this spiritual quality. It becomes more than human nature. It becomes a spiritual creative genius, a spiritual creative activity in the individual. And through him, God works. That which we call God, which we know not what he is, but we know that he is. I can well see how the Master, in his period of devotion, found himself, freed himself from all the relative, and saw the purity and the greatness and the power invested in him. God, the Father, and I are one. There are many states of realization of this great saying. If it is only a platitude to you, just a saying and an image in your mind, and you image something about it in your mind, it is nothing. It is but an image. But I can realize, because I've had the experience, And I know this experience going deeper and deeper into the deeper layers of consciousness and eliminating all that is relative, even the angels in heaven. Eliminating all these relative things, even all the great things. Then coming to that which in itself is reality. That which is in every angel. That which is in every human being. That which is the Christ itself. There then Jesus, the Christ, knew that he was the Christ. And you can find that too. But only through deep discernment, by dissolving away all the relative world, coming to reality, free of all things, free of success, free of failure, free from health or illness. Free from good or bad. Free. Freedom. My wonderful thing. Therefore, when we lift human life into the dignified state of our spiritual nature, realizing what is behind all our creative genius, then who cares for rewards, for thanks, or for praise now? Only one thing counts, the expansion of our creative genius through freedom. Individually, we may feel insignificant, but spiritually, united, we feel rich beyond words. This is the way that your nervousness is dissolved away, by losing yourself in action. You regain your good health. You regain that which is real. You regain your reality. Why? Because you do not seek for reward. You do not seek for praise. Nothing counts to you except that expansion of your creative genius through freedom. Remember that you can make yourself as big as the job you pick out for yourself. You must first learn to relax, so as to be able to carry your habit of relaxation over into your daily activities. Once you are able to relax, you can carry that relaxation over into your daily work, into your daily activities, and that is the success of your living. Talking to a person relaxed, free, working relaxed, free, active in everything you're doing, relaxed, free. Try it out and see how wonderful it is. But what happens to you during your daily living and your daily actions in your work and play? There is tenseness all the time. You're wondering, you're looking, you are tense, you're fearful. Habit patterns. Do you know that these messages are sent to your brain, to this cerebellum, and this cerebellum is sending messages back into your body again? And then your inhibitions begin, your nervousness begin, because you're afraid. There's so many fears that people are troubled with. Thousands of fears. Social, work, play. These three are the greatest. because they are mostly in your living. Secondly, do not bite off more than you can chew. Start easy and work up. And thirdly, remember your relaxed attention so that your activities will provide you with satisfaction and pleasure. Relaxed attention means not a strained attention. I told you what a strained attention was the other night. Person came to me the other day, couldn't study, couldn't learn anything, a very brilliant young man. He got to the state that he couldn't do anything. And I said, I know why. Because you're strained all the time. You're struggling, you're straining yourself. You're tense. He says, yes, I'm tense. I said, now, here is the way to do it. Relax. Relax your brain. Take relaxation. Immediately you find yourself tensed in your study, immediately stop. Don't try and force your voluntary attention because you'll have tension. Relax. Allow your mind to float away. Get some relaxation for a moment. Involuntary attention. Relaxed attention. Then come back and see how easy it is to apply yourself again. How simple it was, he said, when he came to me again. He says, how are you getting on now? He says, I'm fine, absolutely grand. It's easy. Aren't these things worth knowing? These are the things that help us along in our daily tasks. Occupational therapy is a way of acting that will give us the maximum amount of pleasure and the minimum amount of pain. Our human relationships have a great deal to do with this when we realize that what we do into others, we do into ourselves. Human relationships are very important. We must be free. There must be a freedom in your human relationships. There must be no tension there. If there is tension there, you must find it out. Why is that tension there? When there is real love, there is no tension. When there is real love, there is freedom. There is a passive state of the mind. There is a blending of the two minds and souls together. There's a feeling of happiness and contentment. Find out where your tensions are. Then you will find that your living together will be a pleasure, your health will improve, and everything will be bright and cheerful. It all rests within yourselves. I can't do it for you. You can't satisfy your hunger by looking at another person eating, can you? Well, you cannot satisfy your hunger for this freedom until you search deep within yourself and there find the reason, the cause of your tension. These things are important in your lives. There's nothing to worry about. There's nothing to be upset about. All is scientifically arranged that you can, by yourself, completely eliminate all these tensions in your lives, in your work, in your play, in your home, in your social states, and in what we call human relationships. Then begin with honest appreciation of the other fellow. Praise is always better than fault-finding. If you want to call other people's mistakes Talk about your own mistakes first. You generally forget about your own mistakes when you're trying to call the other person's mistake. But if you talk about your own mistakes first, you are less liable to call the other person's mistake. We're all liable to make mistakes. And what about it if we do make a mistake? You're here to make mistakes. You're here to live and make mistakes, and mistakes is your experience. Without them, you never experience anything. You'd be a dull table, a glass, a tumbler. That's what you would be. An immovable, emotional nonentity. Always let the other fellow save his face. No one gets away with anything. Remember, the boomerang returns to the foot of the thrower. Always give the other fellow a fine reputation to live up to. This is the greatest of incentives to creative expression. What a wonderful thing it is to give a fellow a fine reputation to live up to. And see how he is going to try and keep up that reputation. And what does it do? It's the greatest incentive to creative expression, creative genius. A fault is always easy to correct when encouragement is given. It is when we scold and rave, we create resentment and frustration. I remember when I was at school. School in Scotland is a different thing to be in school in other places of the world, because pretty wild fellows there, I can tell you. And often I've seen some standing up fights there in the school between the teachers and the students. I've seen them rolling on the floor and slates flying all over the place. Slates with the frames taken off too, and swished through the air. If you didn't duck your head, before your head would be cut right off too. And that was because why? These Scots fellas resented being scolded and resented being talked to and being strapped. And the teachers soon found out what was the best way to handle. When you get a handful of Scotch fellows like that, I tell you, you've got a handful of it. And you see, in my time in Scotland, that's a good many years ago, education was hard. There was teachers that were hard, but there were scholars just as hard, just as tough. I remember one boy having a fight with myself, and it was a long time ago. Nathaniel Ross was his name, and in fact he was a friend of mine, but we had a bit of a squabble. And he hit me anyway, and I got my monkey up and I hit him. I gave him an awful doing, noses bleeding and all the rest of it. And after I took him into the schoolroom, when we washed our hands and basins there, and I took out my handkerchief and I was wiping the blood off his face and his hands, and old Cameron, the school headmaster, came in and he said, "Have you boys been fighting?" And I said, "Yes, sir." And he said, "Whose handkerchief is that?" I said, "It's mine, sir." "Was it you who did this to this boy?" I said, "Yes, sir." "And you are now wiping his wounds?" I said, "Yes, sir. We are friends." He went out. Then he called all the classes into the big room. And he talked about this for an hour. What this wonderful thing that he could see comradeship. It was a wonderful lesson for all the rest of the boys. Of course, Cannon, he did it to a great extent for himself all the same, I knew that. But nevertheless, it helped the rest of the school. And the best of it was, in the afternoon, we all got a holiday. So I was the fellow that got from the holiday. But these are the things that make life worthwhile. Is that comradeship. That we do may lose our tempers at times. And we are sorry that we have lost our tempers. And we're sorry that we say the things that we do. It's a grand thing to be able to go and make this comradeship even better than it was before. That is the thing that comes. In fact, I remember after that Nathaniel and I were even greater friends. We went together, we did things, naughty things, we climbed places, we threw stones, and we did everything to beat one another, but we were always in competition. But we were never unfriendly. And I remember the same time at the same school, Nathaniel threw a stone and it went in through the school window. And it came to the time, Cameron came in and he said, "Who broke the window? Who threw a stone through the window?" And he said to me, "Do you know who it was?" I said, "Yes, sir." "Who was it?" I says, "I won't tell you." He says, "You won't tell me, will you?" And so he took me out on the floor. And he had the strap. And he said, "Hold out your hand." So I hold out my hand. I let him lash at it as long as he liked. And it was all bleeding afterwards. And he looked at the blood running off. And he stopped. Then he asked me, "Why? Why didn't you tell me?" I said, "I made a promise." I said, "I promised that I would not tell you. Why should I tell you? Why should I break a promise? If I break a promise to my friend, I break a promise to you." Cameron's a really a soft-hearted man. And the tears began to run down his cheeks. From then onwards, I was always the top of the class. Even though I was at the bottom of the class, he would ask a question, and he would say, "You know that?" I said, "Right at the top of the class." Now we see then, though our fault is always easy to correct when encouragement is given, but when we scold and rave, we create resentment and frustration. If you can make the other fellow happy by doing the things you suggest, you have won his respect. I'll read that again. If you can make the other fellow happy by doing the things you suggest, you have won his respect. Impressions are made through our five senses, such as seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, feeling. Yet there is a sixth sense that cannot be classified as a physical sense. When we are sincere, real, we use this sixth sense. We also cause this sixth sense in others to come into operation. Five senses, but there is another sense. That which is under consciousness. We'll see what it means. Every mental state has its physical action. These are not often perceived by ourselves, but are revealed to others. When you hold a mental state of anger, hate, jealousy, fear, etc., your face shows up these shades of emotion. They are not visible to yourself, but they are to others. When you hold that state of mental harmony, which you get through relaxation and divine reasoning, your face will also reveal your mental state. But by this deeper sense, the general state of mind is known. You may laugh or cry, rave or be silent, yet this general state is caught up by this sixth sense under consciousness. Call it a general personal influence if you like. It makes no difference what name you give it. We have to admit that it does exist as a force that can be felt. When you carry out what I have advised you in these lessons, you will find that nature produces in you this influence that affects others. You develop a winning way when you speak. You can sway those who listen to you. This mystic power comes into force as you use your creative ability through divine reasoning. In your business associations, it is of great value in helping others to be happy in their doing. Your enthusiasm is infectious. There is a reciprocity, something that flows backwards and forwards from one to the other. Yes, this sixth sense is a wonderful thing. It is based upon the law of cause and effect. There is an underlying force that exists in all minds. This is the infinite expression of love, which in itself is an energy that is known only through our sixth sense. We are all centers through which it flows, and the more we come into harmony with it, so do we influence others. How then does this come into operation? By seeing the love of God. That this love of God is in you and in the Sermon on the Mount. You find it there portrayed in its beauty. Do unto others as you have them do unto you. Condemn not, lest ye be condemned. Give without seeking reward. Love your neighbor as yourself. And in all those sayings, Jesus revealed this tremendous force that was the great attractive power. It was the great power of expression. Power to heal, the power to live, the power to act. It was in itself creative genius. I and the Father are one. The true realization of this great truth brings about this state. To him that hath, it shall be given, and to him in abundance. This quality which we acquire by doing draws this universal force into us. Thus a powerful influence is created by doing. Around such a person is developed a magnetic atmosphere. It is very different from that which surrounds the pompous, self-centered, selfish, fussy individuals. They are but cheap imitators. They may try to copy, but copying is their downfall, for failure is assured. The individual with quality is always original, and success lies in originality. You are yourself. No one is like you. You are an individual. God has made you that way. Then let him express himself in the way he made you. Freedom gives you. You will notice that the individual who knows does not tell others how smart he is or how important he is. Neither does he try to show off. You feel his strength in the atmosphere that surrounds him. His conscious awareness of the universal will within him is expressing itself. The expression of the universal will is love. You must feel yourself in touch with it, although you cannot define it. And as you gradually admit its power, so you will eliminate these petty personal barriers of conceit and selfishness. When this state is reached, your desire to create and accomplish will increase day by day. You will no longer be those emotional habit patterns creating inhibitions, frustrating your life. This is occupational therapy in its finest form. The motive power within, created by the universal will, which is activity. Love in action is capable of manifesting in a wonderful degree. Relaxation, divine reason, relaxed attention, all these open up the way to successful living. The voice reveals this state of consciousness. Note the tone and quality of the voice. There is no longer that timid, hesitating, doubtful ring in the voice. There is confidence, self-reliance, based upon the universal will within, which commands respect. There is calmness, devoid of bluster and domineering. Yes, the voice has power, tone, and expression. There is so much in this wonderful science of occupational therapy. It is never ending. There is so much I want to say, yet time and space in our relative world seems inadequate. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Isaiah 41. I am is the name of God, the name of man. This is the secret word. It is on the lips, yet few have realized. I am. Benediction. O divine wisdom, my mind was clogged and smeared with delusion. Wash away my selfishness with the stream of thy love. Let thy love power shower down to fertilize my desire to reveal more of thee. Bathe my thoughts in the pool of thy wisdom, so that all my prejudices shall cease. Cover my path with thy roses of love, so that thy fragrance shall hasten my steps towards thee. There to find also in others thy fragrance of love, O Lord.